Good morning. Talking about the weary, dreary days and the song. I was going, oh, wow. But the Lord still brings beautiful colors, as we've been seeing that, even in the rain. It's good to be here with you this morning. I'm just going to ask you a question to start off. Between work and play, if you would choose work, raise your hand. Okay? All right. Come on. Be honest with yourself. Come on, I know you. These are Pennsylvanians, all right? So there are, I think there's probably more. A play, who would play rather than work? I mean, that's my hands up for that. So after service, those people who like to work, I got lots of jobs to do outside, inside. And the people who like to play, I got some games that we'll do together while they work. So, there are people who are just hard workers. No matter what, you've just been brought up, your personality, you're just, I don't know, it's just a trait, you know. God put in you, and you just, I know when we're over in Thailand, whenever we knew we had a team from Pennsylvania or Ohio coming, we knew that they're just going to be all work and no play, you know, and that's what they were, you know, they were all work and no play. And if you had, we had teams coming from L.A. or California somewhere, and it was all play and no work. So, and I enjoyed both. I played anyways, and because I grew up in Southern California, so you know where I lean. So there's, but so and then so we're talking about, you know, work and hard work. A lot of people work hard or they play hard, and for significance, for acceptance, just to show how good they are, and also they're searching for something. You know, I don't know. I mean, I remember my oldest brother, he would just be working and working and working. I'd go, you know, what's up with work? And he says, well, it's who I am. I'm going, whoa, if that's who you are, you're in trouble. If you're just working and working and working and that you say that is who you are, there's an issue that you haven't hit reality yet in this world. You know, so, and eventually, praise the Lord, he has changed that tune. Now he is a follower of Christ, and he has found something there that everybody's striving for, either in play or in work. People are looking to fill that emptiness. And we see Jesus, you know, talking to the religious leaders, and he says, I look at my Father is always at work, and look, I am too working. And I kind of asked the question, well, what's he working at? Well, we know from the last time from chapter 4, he would remember the royal official, and he came to seek and to save, right? And he came to help people understand, show great signs and wonders that will attract us to him, use circumstances to draw us to himself, and to help us believe. Really, to get these big old signs blinking right in front of our eyes and going, yes, he is real, I believe, and we'll have life everlasting. And even at the end of that part with the royal official, when he came home and he found that his son was healed, well, he must have been so excited, and he was telling the others in his household, and that whole household became followers of Christ. So faith can come very contagious as well, and we're supposed to be contagious in our faith walk with Christ. And so Jesus, so question again, so I am too working, that's what Jesus says. Well, what is he working at? So, okay, we know that he's looking for salvation, but there's something more, and I believe this passage will bring that out as time goes on, so we'll just get right into it here. Let's give this to the Lord before we continue on. Father, this is your word, and we just ask that you will work your wonders, that you'll speak powerfully by your Holy Spirit, and that you will speak to our heart of hearts, that you will remind us and teach us and change and transform the way we think and even our priorities in our lives, and Lord, our focus as well. And Lord, may you receive all the glory and praise in this, Lord. So we just give this time to you, and we praise you for your word. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So there's this man an invalid for 38 years. Wow. I don't know about you. That's a long time. And I remember this, if you ever watched the Chosen series, they have this as well in there about this man. He grew up and he got hurt some, and you know, as a kid or something, whatever you call. And then, you know, he was watching his other brother, you know, playing and doing, you know, running around, all that stuff. And then, you know, he ended up at this pool. And this pool, they call it Bethesda or whatever here. And it's a place where he heard. He must have heard something about it. I don't know, rumors. You know how rumors start, like, hey, remember the street, the house down your street, you know, that old house? And there'd be rumors about it, like somebody got killed there, or there's haunted house, you know, the haunted house. Come on, do you know the haunted house in your neighborhood? And I threw rocks at one. I broke glass at one. You know, things like that, all right, or something like that. All right, or okay, if that's not been in your neighborhood, you must have had like a been to a place or been close to a place where they had a little fountain, and they say, hey, you throw a little coin in there, and some good luck is coming your way. You're going to, you know, something good's coming your way. You've done that, right? Yeah, come on. You could have been to those places, and and your little kid, you just take the whole wad, and you go like that, you know, splash. So we hear things. And then we just kind of get drawn to him. And so he was drawn to this pool. What it says there, and they took this, some of this part out of the scriptures because it wasn't in there at first, but they're telling you that, you know, the waters would be moved, you know, stirred up. And when they were stirred up, the first guy in, into the waters, they were healed miraculously. Woo! Yeah. I don't know. I know the enemy does have power. Okay, but his power is deceitful. And so I'm not sure of that involved, but there is something there because that was a pagan ritual, pagan gods. They've actually, when they excavated that area, they found this pool. You can go there now and go look at it. And there's pagan signs all over that. So, you know, it was mainly focused upon these gods, these demons. And that's, if there was stirring, that's what was stirring. And if there was healing, that was healing. But I don't know how long the healing lasts or what they had to do. But this guy was having a problem because he's an invalid. He couldn't get there fast enough. It was a race. I don't know about you, but if you've been hobbled, you know, you've been on crutches and, you know, stuff like that, and you get somebody, you know, is just walking past you, and you're just kind of going, hey, come on, I can't even keep up. Well, this guy couldn't even get up. So he was in a helpless state. You know, he couldn't help himself. He couldn't get there fast enough. And he was hopeless because no one ever wanted to come around and help him up. So he was hopeless and helpless. It looked really bad for him. I don't know how long he was there at that poolside. I don't know. Hopefully not 38 years. So hopefully not that. Maybe a year, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 5 years. I don't know. But it's interesting though, Jesus comes in. He walks past all those other paralytics and blind people and lame people. He just walks right past them and he goes right to this guy. I don't know why. But he has a plan, right? Remember, Jesus is the teacher. He's always got a plan. He doesn't do things just haphazardly. Oh, yeah, I'll do this. No, there's a plan involved in that. Everything that he does. And he goes up to this man. And he knows that he's hopeless and helpless. And really, that's the way we all are before Christ. We're helpless because we can't help ourselves. We try to. We a lot of people try to, and we think that we're doing okay before we get Christ into our hearts, and we're hopeless. We don't really know what's going to happen. We have hopes, but a lot of times those hopes and dreams get broken or falling apart, or they take a lot longer than you expect to get to it. So that's the state of not only this invalid, but that's the state of me and of you and of this world. Without Christ. And so here comes Christ, and he knows this. And Jesus is not afraid to confront foolishness, because that's what this is. Foolishness is really somebody who is not informed well. They don't quite understand the truth. They are tricked or deceived by rumors or mysteries or mythological stories or whatever. But foolishness is when you're going after something that's just not true. Or there's something there that you don't completely understand. And I remember there a little bit further on in the Word, when I think it's chapter 8, where Jesus was talking to some people here. And verse 31, it says, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." So if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. I love that, don't you? He's not free. See, he's bound by this foolishness that's leading him the wrong way. He's not following the teachings. You know, they had the Pentateuch back then. They had the first five books of the Bible, and then they had all the other parts of the Old Testament. And if he was listening and reading and studying, he would understand that there's a God, there's only one God, and only he is God. Only he has the power to heal. He's the one that shows mercy and grace and all that. He must have just missed that, because now he's after this stirring water, these rumors. See, he's off track. But now Jesus, if you don't know what grace is, here it is. Walking past all these invalids and lame people and blind people, and he goes right to the man that he wants to see. He didn't deserve it. He doesn't even know Jesus. He has no faith in Jesus. He has no faith in God, what I could see. So why did he choose him? Grace. You know that grace where the last become first and the first become last? That grace. That grace when it's undeserved. You don't deserve it. None of us did. They received the grace of God that he has bestowed to us in Christ Jesus. Well, he's there. And he gives the life-changing words, confronting the foolishness of this man. Watch what happens. The question he raises, it says, well, do you want to get well? I hear that. I go, yeah. But see, he's still in this stage. And what does he do? He doesn't go, yeah. He starts making excuses. Nobody will help me. Here's Jesus. Do you want to get well? And he's going, I just can't help myself, and nobody else is going to get there. They always get ahead of me. I'm just too slow. He doesn't know who's standing before him. He has no clue. No clue at all. And Jesus, there's an encounter, right? There's an encounter in the spiritual world here. Do you see it? You remember that, the two kingdom thing, two VBSs ago, talking about God's kingdom and the kingdom of Satan? Well, here it is. See, now you got the great physician versus the pagan gods. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Well, what does Jesus do? Get up! He tells the man, get up! Pick up your mat and walk. What happened? He got up and picked up his mat and walked. He had an instant healing. Oh, time out. Wait. No, it can't happen. This man didn't know Jesus. He had no faith in Jesus. How could Jesus heal without faith? So when the next person comes up to you and say, you're sick because you don't have enough faith, slap him in the face for me. Slap him in the face for me. Just a little one. If you want to make it harder, that's okay with me. If it's me talking, then slap me with both sides. All right? Because get me off of that. This is the creator of the universe. This is the one who knows all hearts. He doesn't need your faith to heal. He doesn't need your faith to heal. When you are sinners and enemies of God, his grace comes upon you. Did you know that? It's not what you did. He's coming to you before you're coming to him. And his grace, salvation, and all the healing, spiritual healing, and all that comes into your life. He doesn't need your faith to do his work. Because he's not only changing this man's life, but he's got something else too. See, Jesus got this big plan. See, he's doing this. He's confronting this guy, but he's also got the plan to confront somebody else down the line too. All right? So this healing goes on, and we see who the victor of this little battle is Christ. Because not even the enemy, not even the world, you know, the dark world, all the demons and all Satan, they can't even stand up against Christ. He has no equal. Satan is a created being. He can't even come in Jesus' presence. He's lost, and he loses again. So he picks up his mat and walks, and you know what happens? Oh, there should be celebration going on, right? Well, next thing that happens here, he goes there, and then that day on which this took place was the Sabbath. All right, if you know the Sabbath, they have from the law of Moses, you know, there's a Sabbath, a day of rest, right? A day that they're not supposed to do any work and stuff like that. And to worship God, to spend time worshiping God. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath, boy. Hey, it's the Sabbath. Stop. You can't carry that. What are you doing? You can't carry your mat. I don't care about your healing. Just don't carry your mat." Woo. My, oh my. The next confrontation, where do you think is coming? Well, because these guys are off on their own little high little piggy ride. These guys are up and they're thinking, see what they did, the people, the religious people, the leaders of the law, the scribes and the Pharisees, and what they did is they took Moses' law. And then they started to make other laws around that to protect people from breaking that law. And so even lifting a mat on a Sabbath day and starting to walk is breaking the rules. But if you go back to Moses' law, there in Exodus 20, what does it say? It says this. It says, you know, don't do any work on that day, right? It's a day of rest, but, you know, there's nothing said about lifting mats and walking. So they just put that in there to add an extra burden onto the people, and which sometimes they would get around by some loophole that they would make for themselves so they could do something like that. So there's hypocrisy going on. They were adding to the word of God, which is dangerous, and it leads people down a dangerous way. And Jesus was confronting them with that. He would not allow them that. It's too bad that we tend to do that. If you look at even at the history of the church and you go back and you see how they just add these things. For some reason, just the word of God wasn't good enough. They set Peter up on a big pedestal. And I don't think he belonged there. His confession about Christ, I think, belongs there. But then they start adding things like relics and saints. And if you go to this saint, you're healed. If you go to this relic, you know, this will help you out. And this, and I'm sitting there going, where did he get that from? The Word of God. Where? Where did they get up that this guy is more powerful than that guy, and you know this church because it's small is not as good as that church because it's big and things like that, and then I get to rule over you and tell you what to do and all that stuff? That's not in a king. That's kingdom of man. Because as we're learning about the kingdom of God, it is a reversal kingdom. It is an upside down kingdom. It is a kingdom where, you know, when the world is saying this and you turn it upside down, and then you get really what the kingdom of God is like. See, in the world, we like to rule over people and be the best and the greatest and tell you what to do. In Christ's kingdom, you are a servant, humble servant, serving others. That's the greatest in the kingdom of God. So all these things. And then you go to a little bit further on when Jesus confronted them a little bit later in chapter 5, and he was talking to them. And verse 38, I think it was, here it says, Jesus is talking to this guy, says, you have never heard this voice nor seen form. And then he says, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. See, they're rebelling. They're in their pridefulness. So you got foolishness and you got pridefulness. You got these extremes, and Jesus is right between them, and he's pulling the foolishness to himself, saying, hey, come back to me. And he's going to the prideful, and he's saying, hey, come back to me. This is where you need to be. Get off of yourself. Get off of yourself and take me at my word and be in my word. And obey my word and have a relationship with me. And you will be a contagious follower of Christ that others will see Christ through. And the kingdom will move just like in Iran. See, Warren Wiersbe, I was reading some of his commentary on this. He says the religious leaders had taken the Sabbath, God's gift to humanity. Did you know that's a gift for us to get from all of our hard work? He said, you know, you get a day off, and so do your servants, all people around you. So if you're an employer, all your employees get to have a day off too. And just actually rest the body. It's good. I don't know about you, but when I can have one day, I can get up a little bit later in the day, like at 7 instead of 6, or 7:30 or 8 or 9 or 10, you know, then that's wonderful. That just begins a good day of rest. You need to break that rhythm of work and rest, and not just rest, but also just spend time with the Lord and talk to him throughout the day and whatever he leads you to do. See, it's a good thing. It's a blessing, a gift to humanity. And what they did, though, they transformed it into a prison house of regulation and restrictions. That's what the Pharisees did, and I know there's a lot of people who do that in this world. We have to be careful, because we're talking about, you know, there's biblical, you know, truths that we have to stick with, and then there's our convictions, and then there's preferences here, you know, but those biblical truths we need to stick with. Now, the Pharisees were looking at those biblical truths and they were reading them, but they were interpreting them without the Spirit of God, because they had no clue. They were just adding just whatever they wanted. They weren't coming to the Lord and saying, hey, what does this mean? And to work with and to listen to him. I think they were just making up their own laws, what best fit them. So they were really way off base. But Jesus showed grace to this man of an invalid for 38 years, and he showed grace to these Pharisees And he's trying to say, hey, turn around. Turn around, guys. My father's at work and I am working too. And we kind of say, well, what are you working for, Jesus? Well, all in all, it comes down to this. Rest. See, he's working to save us and to give us rest. This Sabbath rest, well, he wants to give us a true Sabbath rest. No more striving, hard working all the day, or hard playing just to fill up your empty spaces in your heart. You know there's something there. We have eternity in our hearts. If we don't have Christ in our lives, we are always striving and looking for something more to satisfy and fulfill us. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you rest from all that. Just come to me. Come to me. Call upon my name. Spend time with me. Believe in me. And walk with me. And I will give you rest. I will give you rest. So the answer to the question, what's Jesus? I am working too. Well, he's working to give us what? What? Rest. Ultimately, it comes down to rest and peace and joy, life everlasting. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. You know, there, I think it was Joy earlier today, we're reading this one, says Jesus' words here in Matthew, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest for our souls. Do you want rest? Do you want rest? I question that because I feel like a lot of us are still striving. You think we're good enough to get in the kingdom of God on our own. I read the scriptures every day. I'm good enough. No. You're reading the scriptures to come to know him and to make him known to others. That has nothing to do with your salvation. The salvation is by grace alone. You didn't work out that. So stop striving, right? Stop striving. So are you carrying a burden? Is it a foolish burden? Or is it a prideful burden? Oh boy. That's a harsh question, isn't it? Is it a foolish burden or is it a prideful burden that we have going on in our lives that keeps us striving to try to be good enough for God? Well, let me give you some encouragement. A little awakener, first of all. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough, no matter what you do. But the good news is, he's already did work for you. All you have to do is surrender, as we're learning in the Sunday school class. Surrender ourselves. And he has all these good things for us. The riches of the kingdom of heaven. This great inheritance, this life, life everlasting. This rest that he talks about. For us. He's saying, take your burden off of the foolishness and the pridefulness that you're walking in and lay it down at the cross. Lay it down. So if you hear people starting to talk about this and that, say, hey, where in the world are you finding that? Because we had that in life group the other day. And we couldn't find it, but we were finding some other words in there that helped us understand a little bit more about the kingdom of God and things like that. See, we hear things, but where is it? Where is it in the Word? I ask you to allow Jesus to confront you today. in your walk. He wants to confront us and challenge us where we're standing, you know, whether we are heading down the foolish way or are we going towards the prideful way. Humble yourselves and allow him to confront you. Let his words confront you to where you will finally go, oh, Jesus, I am way off base. Thank you for correcting me. It's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. His word, powerful and true. And you know what happens when that happens, when you allow God that in your life? Then you become a contagious Christian, a contagious follower of Christ, where you're going, you know, you just can tell your story a little bit and you can praise God and say, this is what God, he showed me. I was going this way and God said this and it reminded me and I turned around and he transformed me. I'm changing. I'm not the same person anymore. I used to be like this. I used to think that. I used to believe in that. That was a strong conviction I had in my life. Oh boy, but Jesus showed me otherwise. So don't ever be so prideful or so foolish that you do not allow Jesus to confront you with his word. Get in his word. I gave you that John, Gospel of John challenge for a reason. Because this is one of the most challenging gospel that you can ever read. It cuts you to the heart. We've just been part few of his signs that he's done, and I'm already falling down my knees going boink. I don't know about you. Allow him to be God. And allow us, and you know, today it says in a word, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as the day into rebellion. Just humble yourselves and allow him to work through you so through you, he can reach those around you who need to hear this good news as well. We have a Savior who's working all the time, powerfully and wonderfully, mysteriously, to give us rest and those around us true rest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and this sign that you did and your grace towards the invalid. I'm an invalid. I need you. Thank you for confronting me and helping me. Not that I deserved it. And Lord, I know I've also been prideful. I've always, this is the way it is, but thank you for confronting me and those to where I can be changed by your word. So may we make your word central to our lives. May we make our following of Jesus Christ and our relationship with you through prayer, through your word, through service, through witness, Lord. May it become something even more precious in our lives and more of a higher priority in our lives. That you can confront us and change us so we can become contagious in how we share the truth and hope of Christ. That others can find rest just like we have. Thank you, Father. We just give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those people say,
amen.
Amen.